Welcome to the Naples Community Church Podcast with Pastor Kurt Anderson. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this sermon inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God moving in your life. We trust God has great things in store for you. Enjoy today's message.
And now, Heavenly Father, descend upon this place. Drive out all that would separate us from you. May we in all humility subject ourselves to your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I'm continuing on with this sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, and it's deliver us from evil. And literally, it's deliver us from the evil one. It's not a concept of evil. It's the reality of the personification of evil. And all I can say is that this has been a week. Every time I've gone into this particular topic, weird stuff happens. And when I was in California, I was preaching a different passage, but it was essentially about this. And I showed up in church on Sunday morning, and this is gross, but right outside my door was a little pile of cat poop. Now, what on earth? And then on Wednesday morning, I had a breakfast, and I went outside, got in the car, and two things occurred. First off, suddenly, a frog jumped right on the windshield in front of me. And then the fly on my rearview mirror. Just weird stuff. Other things happened this week, and I can't even remember. I was driving down trying to remember what they were. But things that either I noticed them, but I'm not thinking about the sermon all, well, I am all week long, but I'm not every moment of every week. But it's just a reminder that we must take the reality of not just evil, but the personification of evil seriously. C.S. Lewis said, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive, unhealthy interest in them. They themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. Helmut Thielicke, writing during and after, or I should say preaching during and after the Second World War, when all that was unfolding as he was pastoring in Stuttgart, affirmed a personal reality of evil and dismissed what was being called just sort of medieval thinking about devils, etc. And as we think about the devil or devils, it's easy to think that that's just silly, superstitious, medieval thinking. But when he actually encountered what he encountered, as his city was bombed out and his church was destroyed, and he saw all that was going on in his nation and how Christian people had fallen so far and embodied themselves behind this horrific evil, that was Nazism, he affirmed the reality in his own heart and mind. Now, I have to say, I've been a bit of an agnostic on these issues. But there is, I believe, more to it than simply a concept of evil. And certainly it runs far deeper than just mental illness. The problem with mental illness, using that to describe everything and try to explain everything, is it gives us the false impression that we can control it. And we can fix it. All it needs is to build more hospitals and hire more people. But the reality is evil has a final mystery about it that eludes our capability of controlling it. Hear the word of God as it comes to us from the Apostle Peter. Peter, who was called by Jesus a devil, said, "Get behind me, Satan." Right after Peter had declared that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus went on to say he had to suffer and die, Peter said, "It'll never be. I'll never let that happen." And then Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter writes, "All of you, serve each other in humility, for God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up to honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation." May God add his understanding to this hearing of his word. So it's believed, it's affirmed, one of the doctrinal affirmations that we have in trying to understand how the devil got here goes back to the story of that was culled out of the Babylonian experience. And that was that there was a Babylonian myth about Venus rising in the morning, and that the sun would then come up, and of course Venus, as we all know, in the morning disappears. And the myth was that this was a god rising up, and then the real god rises up and casts him down. And so the term that is used in the King James to describe this Hebrew understanding of this myth is the name Lucifer. And it says, "Lucifer, how are you cast down? How is it you are cast down? You who ascended to heaven, who wanted to be like God, but the real God has cast you down." And so from this, we have the sense that this is an angel of God who has rebelled. And it follows with several phrases that represent the pride of this angel. "I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly on the utmost height. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Pride. "I will make myself all these things." Pride, which is the great and most virulent form of sin. "I will do all these things." Pride. I've shared with you before how I went to Dodger Stadium with my dad when I was about 10 years old. And it was before the game. There was nobody there, but we walked in and I looked out and I saw the fence out beyond the green field, and I said, as a 10-year-old, "Oh, I could hit over that." And Dad said, "Kurt, don't brag. Don't talk that way." Now, oftentimes I hear parents, "Oh, honey, you can do anything. You can do whatever you want to do. You can do anything." And when I hear it, I think, no, you can't. I had a kid on my basketball team His parents were Indian. They still had a Indian accent. And he was so bad. But I played him as much as I could, but he's a sweet kid, but he was just not a basketball player. And what I never heard his parents say to him, you can do any of these things. You can do whatever you want. You can arise, you can ascend, you can sit on the most high God or the most high mountain, you can do whatever you want to do. But he was the lead violinist at the high school. When we acknowledge with humility the severe limitations that we have, if we really think that we can do whatever we want to do, we can do anything. We can bring great damage to ourselves and others around us. Again, C.S. Lewis, the most dangerous thing you can do is take any one impulse of your own nature and set it up as the thing you ought to follow at all costs. Follow your dream. How often do we hear that? There is not one of them which will not make us into devils if we set it up as an absolute guide. So, pride gave rise to, in our theological speculations and the metaphors that we use, to the reality of the devil in the world. Jesus says, deliver us from the evil one. Jesus affirmed the reality, the personification of evil. And then we've got the personification of evil as it appears in the Garden of Eden. Man and the woman are together. And it says they're naked and they're not ashamed. Meaning, they are created in the image and likeness of God. They're in perfect relationship with one another, including their sexual relationship. And there's no shame. There's no guilt. There's nothing that separates them. And then, of course, comes the snake. The snake, which in the ancient world was something of a god in almost all the other religions, pagan religions in the world. In fact, Asclepios, which is the name of one of the snake gods, is memorialized even now on the symbol of the American Medical Association, that there's a staff with a snake on it, Asclepios. So the false god of the snake comes to the woman, deceives her, and gives her some bad information. But all she has to do is do this, take this, and you'll be like God. That's Lucifer all over again, affirming something that the fallen star wanted to affirm for himself. And so she takes, and of course the man does, as husbands do, whatever their wife says. And all hell breaks loose. The fall occurs. And in this we have, once again, the acting out of pride, the acting out of somehow I can do this. I think actually my pride was the undoing of my basketball career. Because I was such a star in high school, and I could outjump everyone, not just in high school, but in the college team at UC Santa Barbara, I could outjump everyone. So I just thought I was endowed with incredible gifts. So I went to college with the mistaken notion that college was for an education. And rather than focusing on my basketball, well, I spent that summer up in Georgia at Koinonia Farm working with the original project of Habitat for Humanity all summer long. And was I on the basketball court? No. A little bit, but not that much. Because I thought, okay, I'm going to shine. Pride doesn't accomplish anything. Now, academically, I was scared. I walked onto the campus thinking I was the dumbest guy there. So I worked hard. I worried that when I was off playing basketball, everyone else was studying. So I tried to make up for it at night. It was humility that accomplished, not pride. And yet somehow in our culture, we think that if we just tell each other, well, you can do it. You can do whatever you want to do. You can rise to this. You can take care of this. Somehow, to have an aspiration to want to do something and to be aware that, oh, I don't know if I can do this. I'm kind of scared. I'm going to dig deep and I'm going to try. The humility that really drives the human race. The humility that accomplishes great things. It was G.K. Chesterton that used the phrase, nothing great happens in this world without humility. And so the Apostle Peter says, be humble, submit yourselves in love to one another. The Apostle Paul says, in relationship with man and woman, look at the other as better than yourself. Submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. Humility. Humility is what builds great relationships, not pride. And I see it all the time. I've been guilty of it on too many times. But if we have an attitude of humility toward one another, then great relationships, great churches, great things can happen because of that. And Peter also warns that the devil is a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. I love all the metaphors that we've got. The metaphors of the scriptures are far better than these, you know, the horned guys and, you know, the pointy tail and all that sort of thing. It's like a roaring lion prowling, looking for someone to devour. That's back when there were actually lions up in that part of the world. And they knew what they were about. They knew what that was. And to understand the effort of the devil to kill and to destroy. And I've shared this with you before, but my dad was so angry when he read some article about someone denying the reality of the Holocaust. And he was, as I've shared before, about 90 years old. And my dad and his Jeep driver were approaching the small community of Ohrdruf in Western Germany. And they went in through the gates. The Germans had evacuated. And as he got out of the Jeep, a small man, a little Jewish man, came up to him and with tears in his eyes and gave Dad a hug. And then Dad simply went civil engineer on me. He said, I walked through the camp. There were bodies stacked like firewood. And outside the camp were pits. And at that point, all he could do is describe dimensions. This number of yards by that number of yards. Prowling lion looks for someone to devour. So do I have everyone all depressed and everything else now? And so what do? We stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. And we rely on one another. We uphold one another. And when we have those times when we feel that we are personally assaulted, as I actually felt driving down to work this morning, not work, church, this morning, I did what Jesus did. I was reminded what Jesus said, and that was rebuke him. So I called him something that I cannot repeat in church while driving down here this morning. And then asked that God would give us all eyes to see others as he does. If we can look at others and see the magnificence of the other, be moved by the beauty of what God has created. Always in that place of wondering, how am I worthy of experiencing all of this? What did I do to enjoy this life so fully? The answer, of course, is nothing. We just showed up. But God does give us what we need. You join me in prayer. And Lord, we don't like spending a lot of time thinking about bad things. But we do want to be about good things. And so, dear Father, deliver us from the evil one. For indeed he does. He prowls around looking for one to devour. Lord God, may we stand firm in the faith that you have provided and that you reinforce all the days of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a few things you can do. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at www.naplescommunitychurch.org. If you happen to be visiting Naples, please drop in for our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to meet you. Thanks again for joining us. Have a fabulous day.